What I do want to say before we even start is membership. I didn't know you were at Members. I didn't know that at all. A membership is something. It's a name. But I don't see it as that. I see you as family. And that's what that is. You've been welcomed into this family. And this family ranges from Betty to Eli. And that's what it is. Okay. So, Isaac, play the vid. I'll start at the beginning. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. It's taken me all year to bring this book. I've done 4 preaches over this year. And I'm a great believer in finishing what you start. This infuriates them, especially Ryan, when I tell him he's got to finish his game before he buys a new one. My previous messages are on the website, apart from the first one which didn't record. But I usually give a recap at the beginning, but I'm going to do it at the end this time, if that's all right. So I'm going to start chapter 3, verse 14 to 17, so I'm going to read a bit. So Ruth lay at Boaz's feet until the morning, but she got up before it was light enough for people to recognize each other. For Boaz had said, "No one must know that a woman was here at the threshing floor." Then Boaz said to her, "Bring your cloak and spread it out." He measured 6 scoops of barley into the cloak and placed it on her back. Then he returned to town. It's very important to recognize that nothing inappropriate happened at that time. It was important to Boaz that a woman was not known to be at the threshing floor. There were a couple of reasons for that. One of them being, if they had known that she was there, it could have prejudiced the negotiations the next day. And also, they both had a reputation, a good one. So that's why he wanted to keep it quiet. The other part of that was he handed a lot of grain, all she could carry, to Ruth to take back to Naomi. Why did he do that? He was giving her all that barley, so it indicated to Naomi that he was going to do everything he could. Chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. When Ruth went back to her mother-in-law, Naomi asked, "What happened, my daughter?" Ruth told him everything Boaz had done for her, and she added, "He gave me these 6 scoops of barley and said, 'Don't go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Then Naomi said to her, "Just be patient, my daughter, until we hear what happens. The man won't rest until he has settled things today." Naomi counsels patience at this point. I don't know about you, but patience is not something I do well. I like to get on with stuff if I can. And that's the secret, if I can. Quite a lot of stuff that happens to me and happens to you, I presume, is out of your control. And because it is, you feel, where do I go with it? Have you ever had a conversation with yourself about something that's going to happen? So you've put yourself in a place where you're playing both sides of a conversation. And when that conversation happens, does it ever play like that in reality? It doesn't, does it? You try your hardest to make how you vision that to go, and it doesn't. You can't have that control. You've got to give God some things. It's hard, but you have to do it. Do you think our characters go a long way in how we react to stuff? Yes? No? Do you think your reputation can go before you? Yeah? In this case, Boaz's reputation went before him. Naomi understood it. He'd shown previously what he was like. He had a reputation for getting things done. He had a reputation for honesty and truth. These sort of people stand out. Those that keep the word, those that complete tasks that are given to them, they develop a reputation. As do those who don't. We all like to think we're reliable, don't we? But are we? Good reputations are built over a long time. Bad reputations are built very quickly. So where am I going with this? Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, just say a simple, yes I will, or no I won't. When my children ask me, do you promise? I say, I don't promise. I'll do what I say. The only promise I've made was to Angela when we got married. Them are the type of promises you make. Keeping your word shows that you've got integrity and can be trusted. So what did Boaz do? How did he approach this problem? He behaved honourably and honestly. The other family redeemer had a greater claim on the land that Naomi had offered for sale. Boaz wanted an agreement to be in the open before God, and he would accept the consequences of whatever outcome that would be. He presented the case that Naomi had a field to sell and that he would buy it if the other guy didn't. He assembled a group of witnesses, elders at the gate, and called over the other family redeemer. Chapter 4, verse 5 and 6 says, then Boaz told him, of course, your purchase of the land from Naomi that also requires that you marry Ruth, the Moabite widow. That way she can have children who will carry on her husband's name and keep the land in the family. Then I can't redeem it, the family redeemer replied, because this might endanger my own estate. You redeem the land, I cannot do it. When I was looking through that, I felt God speak to me about it, really. It made me sad. Why do I say that? That family redeemer, the other one, said yes quick, then no. He agreed to buy it as he possibly thought of the profit he could make from it, but without the realization that he had to marry Ruth. And as soon as he realized that, he backed out. Why? What did he see? What did he see in Ruth? Maybe he saw a Moabite widow who just had this field. Someone who'd been scavenging for food. Somebody who had an elderly relative. Somebody who could be a drain on his resources. Somebody who could cause trouble in his family. It could be something how he endangered how he lived his life. Sad. Ruth has been described has not been described as beautiful in any of this scripture, any through this book. But she has been described as virtuous, honest, faithful, loving, obedient, and hardworking. These virtues were not enough for that little guy. What did Boaz see? Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 12. Who can find a virtuous and capable wife? She is more precious than rubies. Her husband can trust her, and she will greatly enrich his life. She brings him good, not harm, all the days of her life. There are a few young people in today, and I'd just like to say this. Bad boys aren't good. Flirtatious girls are not good. Look for your Ruth. Look for your Boaz. Okay. Have you ever heard the expression, you can't see the wood for the trees? Whether it be people or certain situations. As that bloke looked at Ruth, he didn't see her for what she was. God sees us for what we are. We even doubt ourselves. We sometimes put ourselves down. Don't think we're good enough. Someone can do it better. I want to tell you, God doesn't look us like that. He does not look at us like that at all. When we do something, are we doing our best? Are we doing it with a right heart? Are we doing it to honour God? If we are, he's an happy chap. The Lord said to Samuel, do not look at the way he looks on the outside or how tall he is, because I have not chosen him. For the Lord does not look at the things a man looks at. A man looks at the outside of a person, but the Lord looks at the heart. Freedom to do your best. Don't get judged. That's what God's interested in. Matthew 25 verse 23 says, his master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share my master's happiness. When you think you're not good enough, but you've done your best, you're a faithful servant. And you can share your master's happiness in it. God's happiness in it. You've done your best. So I believe Boaz saw in Ruth what God saw. Okay, I'm just going to read on a bit. Now in those days it was the custom in Israel for anyone transferring a right of purchase to remove his sandal and hand it over to the other party. This publicly validated the transaction. So the other family redeemer drew off his sandal and he said to Boaz, you buy the land. Then Boaz said to the elders and to the crowd standing around, you are witnesses that today I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, I've said it this time, Chilion and Malon, and with the land I have acquired Ruth the Moabite widow of Malon to be my wife. This way she can have a son to carry on the family name of her dead husband and to inherit the family property here in his hometown. You are all witnesses today. With the way clear, Boaz immediately declares his intention to marry Ruth, and he does it publicly. Verse 11 and 12 says, "Then the elders and all the people standing at the gate replied, 'We are witnesses. May the Lord make this woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, from whom all the nation of Israel descended. May you prosper in Ephrathah and be famous in Bethlehem. And may the Lord give you descendants by the young woman who will be like those of our ancestor Perez, the son of Tamar and Judah.'" So Boaz and Ruth were married, and in time they had a son. A bit of scripture here. Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast, and she cared for him as if he were her own. The neighbor women said, "Now at last Naomi has a son again," and they named him Obed. He became the father of Jesse and the grandfather of David and the ancestor of who? Ancestor of who? Jesus. If you haven't read the book of Ruth, then I suggest you read it, or read it again. To some, the book of Ruth may seem just like a nice little story, but at the heart of God's preparations, it is for the birth of David and ultimately Jesus. Through the tragedies that befell Naomi, leaving her homeland because of a famine, the death of her husband, the death of her children, coming back destitute with her daughter-in-law and living off Ruth's gleaning, scavenging, God didn't forget her. She stayed faithful to him, and he ultimately redeemed her. God has redeemed us all through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. I think I want to sum up this last bit, because I think this is right, because there's a new baby in this room. Naomi took the baby and cuddled him to her breast. Chapter 4, verse 16 says that. This is a challenge, people. Do we embrace our redemption like Naomi did that baby? Do we walk in it? Do we believe it? If so, remind yourself of it often. I remember feeling like Dan does right now, holding that baby in my arms, holding Ryan and Kerris. And those that are parents know what that feels like. They know what that's about. You want to protect that child. You want to love that child. You want to let him grow up, or her grow up, to be all they can. And that's what you want to do. You give your life to Jesus. You are God's child. He wants to do what you've experienced with your own children. That is where he is. He wants to hold you and cuddle you to his breast, like Naomi did to that girl, that child there. That's what he wants to do. He wants to love you more than he can possibly say. That's it. That's what God gave me for this preach. God loves you. And if you're not a Christian yet, he loves you anyway. But you can come into that relationship with him. So I'm going to pray. Yes, Lord, I'd just like to pray for all those here today who are part of your family, part of you. To be cuddled by you is probably one of the most amazing things. We don't remember it when we're babies, being cuddled at that age. Not until we're a lot older do we remember it. Being held and cuddled, Lord, by you is an amazing thing. And I pray that everybody in this room can really reflect on that, Lord, to be cuddled by you. And those that have not experienced it yet, just welcome them. Amen.